First, I would like to thank the organizers for inviting me to this very interesting conference. And since my talk is upgraded to a 45-minute plenary talk now, I will discuss our differential phase shift, our quantum repeater, as well as quantum key distributions. Let's see. So here is the outline of the talk. I will briefly introduce the differential phase shift quantum key distribution protocol, and then talk about implementation of 1 GHz and 10 GHz DPS QKD systems. Then I will move on to our differential phase shift quantum repeater protocol, and we are not quite ready to implement any serious a system experiment, but rather in the early stage of developing our cavity QED nodes towards the this system. And the node consists of quantum memory, quantum processor, and interface components to our quantum communication bus. And our memory is a nuclear spin of donor impurity in semiconductors such as phosphorus 31 in silicon, or silicon 29 in gallium arsenide, or fluorine 19 in zinc selenide. The processor is provided by the bound unpaired electron of those donor nuclei, and finally our interface will be achieved by donor bound exciton and monolithic microcavity QED systems. So let me start with our DPS QKD protocol. The system is rather simple. Our ARIS transmitter consists of the standard laser light source, which produces a sequence of a coherent state pulse, and the phase modulator imposes the random zero pi phase modulation. Bob's detector consists of 1-bit delay circuit followed by single photon detector. And in this system, the information about the differential phase is retrieved as a click either at the detector 1 or detector 2, and the shifted key generation rate is equal to the detection event because there is no sort of a random choice of detection basis at both sides. So it is given by the clock frequency times the average photon number per pulse times 5 transmission coefficient plus the contribution of detector dark count. The principle of security in this protocol is basically non-deterministic collapse of the wave function in quantum measurement, namely single photon occupies many pulses coherently, and a detection event actually select one particular time instance, which sort of gives us the information about the differential phase, and even though captures identical quantum wave packet, cannot induce the collapse of the wave function at the same time instance. So that's basically the principle. So let me start with a rather fundamental argument for the security analysis. This is our fundamental beam split attack by Eve, namely our one beam with the average photon number capital N. This is our number of pulses on the single photon wave packet, mu t sent to Bob. This is a legitimate system performance, and another part n mu times 1 minus t is stored in Eve's quantum memory. Each photon in Eve's wave function is detected only after at the specific time instance, which are determined by Bob's detection event. So a select particular pulse sequence send into optical switch and then create a click at a certain point. And the probability that she obtains the value of a bit at such a certain time is 2 mu times 1 minus t, because each sort of pulse contains mu times 1 minus t photon, and in this differential phase shift detection using a fast optical switch, there is no loss of the optical signal. So she obtains after all complete bit of information for a fraction 2 mu times 1 minus t of bits without causing any error. So this is a story for the beam splitter attack. And then if Eve introduces a so-called intercept and the descend attack based on the single photon source, such an attack induces 25% error, because even though she generates single photon and split coherently into two pulses with appropriate phase difference based on her measurement result, still the Bob's detector differential phase detection has a chance to make a clicker at the long time instance. If the innocent system error rate is E, then Eve can attack 4E bits, and she can create out of 4E bits, 2E bits are in Bob's detector at the appropriate time. So this is a sort of a leakage to Eve if the system has an innocent bit error. So hybrid attack consisting of the previous beam splitter and this intercept and descend attack, Eve does not have bit information for a fraction of 1 minus this part due to beam splitter attack and this part of intercept and descend attack. So we assume that this is a sort of a compression factor in the privacy amplification process, and then it is supplemented by the part required for compression of the leakage information to Eve during the error correction. And this sort of analysis can be extended to our general individual attack, namely after storing the part of the single photon wave packet, Eve can perform any POVM measurement to optimize her information. And in this case, the privacy amplification compression factor is slightly modified in this way. And if we compare these are general individual attack and the beam splitter and the intercept descend attack, the final sort of a secure key generation rate are as a function of channel loss is shown here. And as shown in this slope, the such DPS protocol, even though based on the Poissonian light source, the key rate decreases linearly with channel loss, which is a characteristic of BB84 system based on a true single photon source. Compared to that, the standard implementation of BB84 with attenuated Poisson source, the rate actually decreases quadratic with the channel loss. So in this way, DPS QKD is with a Poisson source is robust to a photon number splitting attack made by Eve. And this sort of robustness is provided by a sort of a non-deterministic collapse of the single photon wave function into particular time slot. This slide sort of summarizes the current sort of security proof for various proposed protocols. And as for the absolute security issue, BB84, decoy state, and B92 have been established, while the security analysis for general but individual attack for single photon or single pulse are actually also provided in those papers. And in this particular slide, I have plotted the secure key generation rate as a function of fiber transmission distance. If someday we can actually construct such an ideal single photon detector at this wavelength of 1.5 micron, namely a detector quantum efficiency of nearly 50% and a dark count of 50 cycles per second, a clock frequency of 1 gigahertz, and the detection window is 100 picosecond. Then almost all protocols, including BB84 based on true single photon source, BB84 are a decoy state based on Poissonian source, and the differential phase shift are basically gives us a similar performance, and we can sort of cover 250 to 300 kilometer repeater span at the rate of 1 bit per second. A standard BB84 is subject to a severe photon number splitting attack, so it cannot really compete with other systems. Now, the differential phase shift keying is not necessarily superior compared to other schemes, but its benefit is a very simple system configuration. And here is a system we have constructed. It is based on 1.55 micron semiconductor laser, intensity modulator generate 60 picosecond optical pulse for every 1 nanosecond time interval, and the phase modulator introduces random zero-pi phase modulation, and then we send it to our optical fiber, and then a detector consists of 1 nanosecond delay, planar light wave circuit Mach-Zehnder interferometer, followed by 1.5 micron Pipelin up conversion single photon detector. And our initial experiment are published in this article. We used the privacy amplification based on hybrid beam splitter and intercept and descend attack, and claimed that a secure key was generated over 105 kilometer at the rate of 200 bit. But if we revisit that result based on the new privacy amplification process based on against the general individual attack, that key was not actually secure. So we improved the system by introducing our faster silicon APDs with the same clock. Now the compression factor is more stringent. And then we perform the two sort of transmission experiment. One is a regime where the overall single photon counting efficiency is 6%, quantum efficiency is 6%, and the dark count is 10 to the 5 count per second, and the time window for the measurement is 200 picosecond. So the dark count rate per event is 10 to the minus 5. And in that case, we generated a 2 megabit per second shifted key. And after privacy amplification, secure key rate is 468 kilobit per second at 10 kilometer transmission. We slightly decrease by a factor of 10, not slightly, in order to decrease the dark count rate a lot, and also shrink the time window down to are 100 picosecond. Then in this way, we can decrease the dark count rate per event is 10 to the minus 8. In this case, a shifted key at 100 kilometer fiber transmission is 2 kilobit per second. And after privacy amplification, we can distill 166 bit per second secure keys. So that's basically the current state of the art in DPS QKD experiment with 1 gigahertz clock frequency. And now we are recently extended the system experiment to implement 10 gigahertz clock frequency. And the light source is now mode-locked fiber laser. It produces 10 picosecond pulse at every 100 picosecond interval. And now Pipelin waveguide up conversion has a bandwidth of about 50 gigahertz, so it is sufficient to actually amplify frequency combat 10 picosecond pulse. And a silicon photo detector has a relatively short response time, so we perform the experiment. And this is a summary of our fiber transmission experiment from 10 kilometer to 105 kilometer, and the shifted key rate is listed here, all kilobit per second unit, and the error rate due to dark count is very, very small because of the very, very small time window, less than 1%. We need approximately 4% bit error rate to distill the secure key. Unfortunately, the overall error rate measured in this system is a factor of 2, larger than this criterion, so we failed to create secure keys. And the reason is basically our detector is not fast enough for 10 GHz experiment. This is a histogram of detected photons for fixed phase patterns, and each of those are a peak spike. It's actually a single photon detection event. It is approximately 30 picosecond width, full width at the half maximum. And this detector, unfortunately, however, has a rather long tail. So full width at the 10th maximum is 100 picosecond. And this long tail introduces an inter-symbol interference. And that is basically the primary reason for the relatively large bit error rate. So in order to distill secure keys at this 10 GHz clock frequency, we need to replace MPD silicon avalanche photodiode with faster photodetectors. And that's basically the current state of the art. Okay. So let me switch to the second subject of differential phase quantum repeater. And the quantum repeater consists of three steps, basically the entanglement distribution, followed by purification, and then swapping. And as for the distribution, there are three schemes basically are proposed so far. First one is, of course, based on stimulated Raman adiabatic passage, and you know what it is now. In this particular scheme, we prepare a single atom cavity QED system at, say, a 10 kilometer separation, and by using the control pulse, we can generate a sort of an entangled state between two ground state of atom 1 and the emitted photon wave packet. If our atom is stay in the ground state, no photon is emitted, but if atom is transferred to our excited state E, then a single photon is scattered to a Stokes light. And this sort of a single photon wave packet in this linear superposition state is transmitted over the fiber and then captured with 100% efficiency by the again the stirrup method by using the control pulse. In this case, the initial state of the atom 2 is prepared in the upper state of 2 ground state E. So after all this complete capture of single photon wave packet, the 2 node is prepared in our maximally entangled state. Now, this initial proposal was never implemented in experiment due to the following reason. We, first of all, need two strictly identical nodes, and the photon bandwidth is much smaller than atom cavity coupling constant, vacuum Rabi frequency, in order to satisfy adiabaticity condition, which is rather stringent condition for experiments. Recently, this sort of constraint was lifted by Lusham's group, and we don't need adiabaticity anymore. Our other constraint is cavity QED system should be operating in a strong coupling regime, and we need large detuning for complete capture, and the solution is unknown for arbitrary phase shape. This pulse is distorted in the transmission. But those three problems are actually solved recently by David Fattel. The scheme is about to take off by those subsequent development in recent years. The second method is basically based on post-selection and this famous DLCZ scheme, two atomic ensemble generate single photon with a very, very small probability. And if one photon is detected at the midpoint of the transmission line, that detection event projects the two atomic ensemble in a sort of EPR Bell state. The problem in this state is basically the qubit of information is stored over many, many atoms. Then how to implement sort of entanglement, purification, and swapping protocol, how to basically construct the two-qubit gate over two or three or many atomic ensembles is an issue. And in order to overcome this problem, Misha Lukin's group actually proposed to use a single atom cavity QED and again use a single photon detection event. And even in this sort of a scheme overcome this issue because it is just a single atom, single qubit system, a very clean system. But if you look at this system, it is a long distance fiber interferometer. So question is how to stabilize long distance interferometer. Namely, if this photon path and this photon path are fluctuating from time to time, then a projected state is not the EPR Bell state, but the statistical mixture of EG and GE state. Okay. And that's basically the state of the knowledge about entanglement distribution. So here it's our new idea based on differential phase shift protocol. In this scheme, again, our node consists of single three-level atom and coherent, and these two atom is prepared in our independent linear superposition state initially, and then our weak coherent state pulse is incident into the first cavity and interact dispersively with the atom. And the cavity and the probe are resonant and slightly detuned from exciton to our E state transition. And then if our atomic electron is a ground state, nothing happens, but the atomic electron is in state E, then our coherent state acquires a small phase shift theta. Theta is typically 0.01 radian, and alpha is about 100, so alpha theta is about 1. That's the sort of optimum operational regime. This sort of a probe pulse propagate over the fiber transmission line and interact with the second atom, and that's the same thing, which is followed by the DC phase shift minus theta. If the atomic electron is actually GG, then nothing happens. So this phase shift minus theta is simply imposed. If atomic electron is EE, then phase shift is 2 theta minus theta. Therefore, the net phase shift is theta. And then finally, if the state is GE or EG, namely EPR Bell state, we have initial coherent state. So by measuring the phase shift by a homodyne detector after the second interaction of weak probe light and select only this state, then we can map the project the two node in the EPR Bell state. So that's basically the principle. This sort of a scheme of our entangled state distribution has a very high success probability, almost 50%. Every time we send coherent state, we have a chance to create EPR Bell state with 50% probability. And our phase stabilization is automatic. Namely, this probe pulse and this local oscillator pulse co-propagate in the same fiber with a few nanosecond time delay. So it probes identical phase fluctuation. So there is no need to stabilize the long fiber interferometer. So that's basically the benefit. And then the second step is a purification And the third step is swapping. And today the people prefer this bell state-based purification protocol rather than WANA state-based protocol, which is sort of concatenated with the swapping protocol. And there are such nested purification and swapping protocol proposed in this paper. And this is our sort of a numerical result presented in this paper. And the conclusion is, in order to connect the continental system over 1,000 kilometer approximately, we need 7 qubit per node. Actually, it is one half, so total number is 14 qubit. And then our operational time is about 1 second. Intercontinental system with a length scale of 10,000 kilometer, we need 20 qubits. And our operational time is longer than 10 seconds. So in this way, quantum repeater is a very long distance multi-particle interferometer connected by small-scale quantum computers. So that's basically what people are trying to implement. So next, I will discuss the how to implement such nested purification protocol in our differential phase shift scheme. Here is the idea. This is a local 2-qubit, and we would like to introduce a 2-qubit gate in order to implement purification and swapping protocol. And for that purpose, we don't need any new resource. This is just the same coherent state bus. And this is a control phase shift standard displacement, which is realized by the beam splitter, another controlled phase shift to the second cavity under our displacement, and repeat the similar procedure. And the principle of this gate is shown here. Suppose the 2-qubit is a GG state, then controlled phase shift is negative, and then fixed displacement, negative phase shift, fixed displacement, and repeats the same process and comes back to the initial state. And this is our case that the state is GE. This is a case that the state is EG. And this is a case is EE. In this case, we have a positive phase shift displacement, positive phase shift displacement, positive phase shift displacement, positive phase shift displacement. So what is unique about those are a sort of evolution of the quantum system in this phase space. It's summarized here. After the entire sequence from here to here, the probe is disentangled. Probe is disentangled from the qubit. The probe is always comes back to the initial state. Therefore, no measurement is required and no post-selection is required. But the overall phase develops proportional to the area, which is topological phase. The number is actually given here on the order of 4 times alpha squared theta squared. So the same regime of operation, alpha theta equal 1, which is required for entanglement distribution, we can introduce a desired pi phase shift, namely control Z gate can be implemented by the same resource, namely 2 cavity QED node and the coherent state bus. Okay. So that's basically our. And then our for the last 5 minutes or so, let me quickly review where is the status of the hardware study. We are planning to use the sort of donor nuclear spin and the bound electron spin and the bound exciton in semiconductors. And this is our candidate material, phosphorus 31, silicon 29, and fluorine 19, all simplest nuclear spin 1/2. Particularly phosphorus 31 and fluorine 19 are 100% abundant isotope in nature. So we don't need any isotope purification. This is used as a quantum memory, and the quantum processor is provided by unpaired electron bound in a neutral donor, and this sort of electron spin coherence time can be increased if necessary by isotopically purifying silicon and zinc selenide. These matrix actually can be made the nuclear free isotopes, and then if this system is excited by the on resonance laser light, then a bound exciton state is formed, and which has actually recombine radiatively. So this sort of optical transition provide us the interface to our qubits. So this is actually a magnetic field versus a spectrum of this bound excitonic emission, and this is a donor bound exciton emission. You can see that the typical diamagnetic shift, and it is hard to see, but here is a clean Zeeman splitting due to the bound donor electron spin 1/2 and the bound hole spin 3/2 system. And those weak state is actually our radiative recombination to the excited state of our orbital state of bound electron, our 2p state and the 2s state. And here is a sort of energy plot for 1s, 2s, 3s, 4s, 5s state transition. So those hydrogenic spectrum is rather clean, which means that those donor bound exciton, substitutional donor bound exciton in semiconductors really provides the clean atomic systems in solid state configuration. So here is a summary of those donor bound exciton systems and compared with our NV center in diamond. And those four systems are actually sort of a solid state candidate for quantum repeater node. As far as the hyperfine interaction, every system more or less are equal except gallium arsenide system. Optical capability, silicon is very weak. NV center is medium, and the gallium arsenide and zinc selenide are very strong. So in order to make our entanglement, we need a very high Q cavity for silicon, but it is still possible. I will show shortly. For those 2-6 and 3-5 compound, we have relatively low Q cavity. We need only relatively low Q cavity, and diamond requires intermediate Q. Isotope engineering for electron spin coherence time, silicon is possible, zinc selenide is possible. Silicon case indeed observed electron spin T2 time is 60 milliseconds, which is compared to 1 microsecond for gallium arsenide or 100 microsecond for Harvard Group's effort. This is some numerical result. If even silicon, if we put it into a high Q or monolithic micro cavity, then it is possible to actually generate EPR bell state with a very high fidelity by dispersive interaction with and this is a zinc selenide case. We need actually cavity Q of about 1,000. So 3 orders of magnitude lower Q actually is sufficient to achieve the similar fidelity. So those are basically the performance comparison. The next slide shows that the silicon 29 nuclear spin in silicon natural silicon crystal, and as a nuclear memory, the required T2 time is much, much longer than 10 seconds. That's basically what we need, because we need to actually store qubit of information over very long time to complete the nested purification protocol. And I won't go into the details of this, but by sending about 1 million NMR pulse sequences, which defocus by spin echo technique, and also decouple the dipole coupling of nuclear spins simultaneously, we could sort of observe the spin echo signal over 1 minute. This is not really the limit. If we wish, we can actually send much shorter pulse with higher power then the T2 time can be increased even longer time. So the nuclear spin is really traffic for other nuclear memory. This is an electromagnetically induced transparency experiment for donor-bound electron spin in gallium arsenide. So we are creating a sort of a dark state, a coherent population trapped state between 1 and 2 through the sort of destructive quantum interference. And this central dip actually is a signature of that. Now, as for the T1 time constant of electron spin, we have recently measured lower bound of T1 is about 4 milliseconds at the low magnetic. This is the instrumental limit. And so T1 time for the reasonable DC magnetic field should be longer than 4 milliseconds. The next step is actually introducing the spin echo technique, how we can approach T2 time close to, I think, 2 times T1, natural line with spin, basically. As for the cavity QED, we are working on two types of cavity. One is a photonic crystal cavity, and the other one is a post-micro cavity with DVR reflectors. And what we need for this particular protocol with a large parcel factor, namely how much spontaneous decay rate is enhanced rather than strong coupling. Let me emphasize that this is a vacuum Rabi frequency and this is a cavity decay rate. So this cavity is deep in a weak coupling regime. This is also very deep in the weak coupling regime. So we don't need actually strong coupling in this particular application. And in this work, the parcel factor is about 10. And the more recent work for this cavity, parcel factor is now 25. Incidentally, this is a strong coupling regime with a single quantum dot. But this number seems to be sufficient for our quantum repeater application. So so let me wrap up my talk. So this is sort of a wish list. Unconditional security proof was not actually given for DPSQKD, so it's open. And it is very important, and we are anxious to know whether or not DPSQKD is absolutely secure or not for arbitrary coherent attack. Reduction of the timing jitter of APD and the noise photons of peopling up converter could be possible, or alternative detector. And with those sort of improvement, hopefully we could implement 10 gigahertz DPSQKD system soon, and in which we expect that megahertz secure key rate and eventually 250 kilometer fiber distance should be possible. The differential phase shift quantum repeater, we are very, very far from such sort of a system experiment at this time. And still, the experimental challenge is construct appropriate cavity QED nodes. For the silicon system, we need the cavity Q larger than 10 to the 5, which is not demonstrated at 1 micron region. The top data of cavity Q of 10 to the 6 was demonstrated 1.5 micron. And at the band gap, close to the band gap, we can achieve this or not is unknown. Gallium arsenide system, every technique is almost ready to take off, but stable isolation of single impurity is rather hard, and we have not successful yet because of the relatively small trapping potential. Fluorine 19 zinc selenide, whether or not electron spin T2 time is equally long as silicon is still yet to be seen. And finally, Cuba's computer architecture is rather fragile against optical loss, and this is a very serious problem for the implementation of a nested purification protocol. So we need a new architecture in this area. Thank you very much.